Hello, welcome to the Lewisburg United Methodist Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit lwbumc.com.
Our scripture this morning is from Matthew 5:7. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Today we continue with our study of the Beatitudes of Jesus, and so we are in this one that says mercy. And so I want us to look at what that means. What is that word mercy? And maybe you've heard this before, but we often use the word grace, but mercy maybe isn't used quite as much. And so I thought I would remind you of the difference between grace and mercy. So here's how we'll do it. Grace is receiving what it is that you do not deserve. So I want you to think about that. Every gift, every blessing in your life comes to you from God. We don't always deserve it, but he gives it to us anyway. So I want you to see how that feels. I want you to tell someone next to you one blessing that you have in your life. Do that now. Whatever you just mentioned to the person beside you, that gift is grace. That means you are given something that you don't necessarily deserve, but God still pours it out on you. Now, mercy's a little bit different. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. Let me give you an example. All of us can think of how it felt that time that person betrayed you. Maybe it was a person in your personal life. Maybe it was someone in business. But you know a time and you know that feeling when someone betrayed you. Let me tell you what mercy is. Mercy is I will surrender my right to hurt you the way that you have hurt me. I surrender my right to hurt you the way that you have hurt me. That is mercy. Jesus is the picture. He's the poster child for the ultimate mercy. Because he has surrendered his right to be hurtful toward us, although we hurt him. Do you need mercy this morning? In case you're wondering, let me think. I'll go ahead and tell you. You do. You all need mercy, and so do I. Because when we realize and recognize how deeply we are in need of Jesus's mercy, then and only then will I begin to show mercy and be able to show mercy to other people. You know, every time there's a story of Jesus in the Bible, he spent his time with two types of people. He spent his time with sinners, and then he spent his time with the religious. And do you know who over and over again in the scripture stories, who he got most frustrated with? The sinners or the religious? The religious. Because sometimes we forget that we too stand in the need of mercy. So I'm going to remind you of a story that I'm sure you heard growing up as a child about the prodigal son. Do you remember this story? I brought it with me. I'm going to do a little story time with you and just remind you how it goes. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." And so the father divided the property between them. The younger son got all that was his and set off for a distant country and there squandered his wealth and lived in wild living. The older son never left the farm. He worked day and night, worked faithfully. After he had spent everything, the younger son discovered there'd be a severe famine in the whole country and he began to be in need. So when he came to his senses, he set back to go to his father and he had a plan. He would say to his father, "I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants." But while he was still a long way off from home, his father saw him waiting on the porch, watching for him. Filled with compassion, he ran to his son and threw his arms around him. The father said to his servants, "Let's celebrate. Bring the best robe in the house. Let's put it on them. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead, but he's alive again. He was lost, but now he's found." The older son was still in the field. He heard the music, and he heard the celebration, and he heard the dancing, and he asked the servant, "What is going on?" Your brother has come home, they replied, and we're celebrating because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother would not come. He was angry. He refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. My son, he said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad for your brother because he was dead and is now alive. He was lost, but now he is found. You know, there's a lot of different ways that we run away from God and that we forget that we stand in need of mercy. One of the obvious ways is there's moments in our lives where we have lived intentionally rebellious and disobedient to God. But sometimes we run from God by living so close to following the rules and becoming so religious, but yet we have no real relationship with this man named Jesus. The youngest son in our story obviously showed deep disrespect for his father. It was clear that his son was saying, I don't want a relationship with you. I just want the good stuff that you have that you owe me. And then we know he went off to a distant country and he lived R-rated. He wanted his own way. Probably if we thought about it in our faith journey, you and I have had times in our faith where we lived in intentional rebellion or intentionally disobeyed that quiet, still voice of God within our hearts. The reason that I know you have experienced that and that I have experienced rebellion is because Isaiah tells us we have in the Bible. Remember the verse in Isaiah that says, we like sheep, we have all gone astray, each of us in our own way. So I started thinking about my faith journey, times that I sort of ran from God's mercy. And I can remember a time that I was just so self-absorbed. I was selfish. I remember at one point I was dating Rudy, and one time at the end of the day, he said, get out of my car. You are so selfish. He was right. That was hard to hear, but sometimes a rebellion is just being so self-absorbed and only hearing your own voice. Some folks run from God and show their rebellion because of disappointments. Disappointments come into your life, and of course that might lead you to anger, and then that anger leads to bitterness, and then that bitterness leads to resentment, and all of a sudden, all these months and years have passed by, and you realize, I haven't been spending time with God in a long time because I'm stuck in my disappointment. Sometimes we run from God by doing what the young son did. We live reckless. Some of us can tell stories of times we use substances to escape or to numb out. We know all of us have been affected by someone who is living with addiction and turning their back toward God's mercy. The prodigal son probably did all of these things, but Isaiah says all of us have turned our own way. It is obvious to me, and I'm sure to you too, that this younger son stood in the need of mercy, didn't he? In fact, the story says that as he approached his father, he was greatly insecure. He knew he'd been living wrong. He had a lot of self-doubt, and he wasn't sure if all his failures would live with him the rest of his life. I love what C.S. Lewis says about failures. He says, this is Satan's strategy, your failures. He gets Christians to become so preoccupied with their failures, from then on, the battle is won. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. In our scripture story, means extravagant. It means reckless. I almost wonder if this story might should be called the prodigal father because he was so extravagant with his love. He waited on the porch in our story of scripture for his son to come back. And in our modern day story, the sheets were put out to remind him that you are always welcome, that you're always welcome back to my arms of mercy. When that young son in our story came home, it says that the dad said, bring out the best robe. Do you know in that day, the best robe in the house would have been dad's robe, which normally you let no one wear, because being the patriarch of the family, especially in that day, was the highest honor. But his dad said, bring the best robe, and he gave it to his son. The meantime, let's switch gears for a minute and look at that older son in our story. Remember, he's here at the same time the young son is, but he has deep disrespect in a different way. The older son, although he'd sort of done all the right things, he didn't really want a relationship with his father. What he wanted was for his father and others to see him as good. We know that because when the little brother came home, what did the older brother do? He stayed in the field. He would not come in and celebrate. He's thinking in his mind, I've done everything that you have asked. I stayed with you. I've been responsible. I have followed directions. And now I want approval. And I feel resentful about it. The older son was sort of checking off his boxes in his list of religion, but he wasn't really in relationship with his father. See, when Jesus started this thing called Christianity, he never used the word Christianity because he didn't know it was going to become a religion. Jesus, when he walked around people's lives, he wasn't trying to start a religion. He was starting relationships. Sometimes, as believers, we move into religion and we think, well, I've got to do these certain things and that makes me religious, when all Jesus wants is to be in relationship with you. In the time that Jesus was sharing the Beatitudes, let me tell you about some of the religions of that time. Most of the religions had to do with Greek gods and goddesses, lots of superstition, lots of things you had to do to be in good favor with their god. Well, you probably have heard of Baal idol worship. That wasn't the only idol worship. Everybody had an idol. They would literally bring something into the home and people would worship it. That was what they were used to for religion. Another common religion in that time was astrology. Way distant in the stars, not really connected, not in relationship with the stars. So Jesus was talking about something radical when he came and said, I want to be in relationship with you. I want to show you mercy so that you can start living, showing mercy to others. The prodigal son was being his own God. The one that ran away, he was being his own God. In fact, we saw it in his wild living. But the older son was being his own God too, because all he could focus on was following the rules, checking off the religious boxes. Hey, look at me. I'm doing the right thing. The prodigal son, we know that his wild living made him be led into unrighteousness. But the older brother, he was trying so hard that it led him to become self-righteous. And both are broken, sinful people. Both are deeply in need of mercy. There are more than two or three or four ways to run away from God, but there is only one way back to God. And that's because of his mercy. My original question to you this morning was, do you need mercy this morning? And I think we could all say yes now. Because we either ignore that still small voice and we might be in active rebellion where we're thinking, I don't want to spend time in God's word. I don't want to talk to him right now. I'm disappointed. I'm angry. I've got my own plan. Or some of the rest of us, maybe just going through the motions, doing our religion, but lacking relationship. I need mercy this morning. You need mercy this morning. And until we come into God's mercy, we cannot offer others mercy. Let us pray. God, we thank you for your gift of mercy through your Son, Jesus. Wherever we are on our faith journey, we pray that you would move us closer to you to be in relationship with you this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Will our ushers please come forward? Thank you.
but you didn't even notice. It ain't raining anymore. It's hard to breathe when all you know is the struggle of staying above the rising water line. Well, the sky is finally opened, the rain and wind stop blowing, but you're stuck out in the same old storm again. You hold tight to your umbrella. Well, darling, I'm just trying to tell you that there's always been a rainbow hanging over your head. If you could see what I see, you'd be blinded by the colors, yellow, red, and orange, and green, and at least a million others. So tie up the bow, take off your coat, and take a look around. 'Cause the sky is finally opened, the rain and wind stop blowing, but you're stuck out in the same old storm again. You hold tight to your umbrella. Darling, I'm just trying to tell you that there's always been a rainbow hanging over your head. Oh, tie up the bow, take off your coat, take a look around. Everything is all right now, 'cause the sky is finally opened, the rain and wind stop blowing, but you're stuck out in the same old storm again. Let go of your umbrella, 'cause darling, just trying to tell you that there's always been a rainbow hanging over your head. Yeah, there's always been a rainbow hanging over your head.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from the Lewisburg United Methodist Church. We pray that you are blessed by God's Word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lwbumc.com.